Brian.
Rana.
Oh, it's
last free feed of the year.
Cause for celebration.
It certainly is. We did it. We went through all of 2020, and which was a heck of a year. And we've given episodes every single week this year, Rana.
We've given free feed every week. And then we've given the rest of ourselves. We've left the rest of ourselves on the dance floor on the Patreon.
There's nothing left.
Not to mention
We
started a bustling coffee business. We only started the business in June, by the way. That's 6 months. Can you believe that?
In the middle of a pandemic. My jaw literally dropped. I actually can't believe that.
June, I think, 13th was the day that we launched the coffee.
Oh my God. Very middle of the year, almost.
Literally.
Wow.
I mean, and we've had so much as people say, you've gotten me through. We've said it before, we'll say it again. They've gotten us through.
No kidding.
Can you imagine?
This is such a highlight of our weeks that we get to do this and answer questions and have some fun because, listen, we'll take it where we can get it too. And this has been it.
And we get to feel like we're connected to this fabulous larger community.
It's true.
People have been so wonderful. And there's been a real feeling of camaraderie and community. And it's been a real blast. But at the same time, it's absolutely been a year where the most unimaginable things could have possibly taken. I mean, that is why today we are doing a classic cliffhangers episode, and we have decided volume 3 is only in 2020.
Can you imagine, Rana, a year ago, us looking at the absolutely heightened, crazy emails I don't think either of us anticipated this when we started.
Look, I don't want to tip the information of what's coming in some of these, but these are questions that if a year ago we got them, we'd say fake news, fake news, fake news. Mm-hmm. You know what? I don't want to say that anymore. I'm not going to say that anymore.
Sure.
We got to give him less. People have to stop
give him
paying
nothing.
Stop paying attention to, let him die in the dark.
Please don't cover him ever.
But we would get these letters and we would say, this is crazy. This is made up. This doesn't happen. And the pandemic has really brought out some of the most outrageous scenarios and behaviors.
The screws have been loosened. No doubt about it.
And that is the theme of this episode.
Truly.
Only in 2020. So we want to give people a quick reminder that this is our last free feed episode of the year.
Yes.
If you're absolutely dying for more Rana and Brian content, you can still get it on Patreon because Patreon continues uninterrupted. That's patreon.com/askRana.
That's right. It is the opposite of girl interrupted.
Correct.
It is girl and boy uninterrupted.
Correct.
Yep.
$5 gets you into the carriage house that gets you a bonus episode. Every week.
Yep.
$10 gets you sauna privileges where you can see the video. You supposedly get an occasional private part from Brian.
That's true.
You have access to the Rana Reads library, which is where I read a bedtime story like the Calm app to people.
Correct. You have access to the original story by Tony Manna.
Our Christmas little bonus that we gave to everybody, which was fabulous. We got wonderful feedback.
We need an illustrator and Simon and Schuster on the phone now.
You know what? That's a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
I bet some of our chili witches wouldn't mind illustrating that for us.
I bet you're right.
Our fabulous storybook written by Tony Manna.
Yes.
That we did for people on Christmas.
The night before Christmas, but Carriage House version.
Twas the night before Glickmas.
Glickmas, excuse me. That's right.
And that was really quite fun. People should check that out if they want to. And we should remind people, because we always forget to tell them, they get Rana and Brian Ways.
Oh, yeah.
Where we are the voice of your ways.
Taking a road trip?
At any tier, you get Rana and Brian Ways, and you just click the link that we have posted for you there, and it downloads onto your Ways, and you can have us saying, turn left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God, keep going.
Rerouting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rerouting.
Rana, I thought of something a minute ago.
Yeah.
If this were a cruise ship,
I really hope it never is, but
for the carriage house,
yeah,
I would say, welcome aboard. So happy to have you here. And for the sauna privileges, I would say, welcome aboard, madam. Please let me show you to your table. A glass of champagne, anything you'd like. Do you know what
you
I mean?
Would have been, there must have been a moment or two where you wanted to be a stewardess.
A moment or two. Talk about ages 8 to 16.
Yeah. I think you would have been an excellent
I would have been, I truly,
host.
I was such a good waiter, Rana, when I waited tables. Were. I was so good.
What kind of restaurant did you work at?
So it was called 18th and 8th. It was in Manhattan.
Uh-huh.
And it was one of those like, it was in Chelsea, obviously. So it was like a gay version.
Near the original UCB Theater.
Near the original UCB Theater. It was like a diner, but nice. Does that make sense? So it had like a full bar and it was lit.
They had a place in Chelsea called Cafeteria. It must have been a little bit like that.
It was exactly that sort of vibe. Yeah. And
Cafeteria changed that genre a little bit.
Yes, exactly.
In the late 90s, early aughts.
And the people who would come in, run it. Sandra Bernhardt all the time. Janet Jackson all the time. I waited on her like
Janet Jackson.
She was living in Chelsea for like 2 years. Or something.
Really?
Maybe less. Maybe she was recording an album. I don't know. But she lived in Chelsea, so she would get lunch there a lot. She would get dinner there a lot. And
what does she look like in person?
Gorgeous. Truly.
And nice?
The absolute number one nicest customer I probably ever had.
Sweet?
Very sweet. Exactly what you'd think. Honestly, it was the same. She would just be like, just the pancakes. Thank you so much, baby. Or like, hi, how are you? Good to see you today.
And would she have bodyguards with her?
Yeah, there were always people with her.
Were they outside the door or were they in the restaurant?
No, there were always people at the table with her. She was always in a group of four.
Oh, that's so sad. She would just sit there with the bodyguards and have... Would she
talk to them? I guess they
were
bodyguards. Maybe some were friends. I don't know.
So would she talk to them or would she sort of eat and they just sat around her?
Yeah, she was so quiet. But she would talk to them and she was always
tiny?
So friendly. Tiny. She was.
Yeah.
And I would always ask if she, because she hardly ate anything. I would say, do you want your food wrapped up? And she'd go, no, thank you, baby. It was delicious though.
Oh, you're
she was
killing
great.
Me.
Helen Mirren, I would wait on. Laura Linney.
Oh.
It was fun. Sandra Bernhardt, I think I mentioned. Yeah.
And were they good tippers? Or normal tippers?
I want to say normal.
Yeah. 20%.
Yep.
Yeah.
I want to say normal.
Terrific.
And then there were some theater actors who would come in who were sort of like second tier.
Yeah.
Like they had maybe
you knew who they were because you were a theater student.
I knew
student.
Who they were, and they were under tippers and awful.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you willing to give us a name?
No. But I'll tell you.
Okay. Tell me afterwards.
Okay.
I really want to know. Wow. What a fantasy to be a waiter, a young waiter in New York and wait on all those people.
It was so fun. And also it was like, you know, I just moved there. So it was just also like,
I was living the dream.
Completely.
Living the dream.
Watching people come in after shows with their playbills. I loved it.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, I love it. What a fantasy story. That's, you know what? That's a little end of year gift you just gave us. I love that.
Good one. Thank you.
So just to remind people though, we're taking a break on the free feed from January 1st until January 12th. And we're relaunching on January 12th with what's probably the biggest star that you could possibly get on a podcast.
This person is... Like I said before, I don't think there's one person in America or even probably in most countries who doesn't know who this person is.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah.
But keep an eye on our Instagram feed because we're going to have a little bit of fun content to keep them busy
and
while they're waiting
for us. It's not The Little Mermaid. I want to say that.
It's not The Little Mermaid. That's
She's
true.
Not the guest. Yeah.
Though Brian will be doing a one-man Little Mermaid live show. Where you get to see him pull all the wigs on and off, and that's going to be fun. I can't wait for that.
I wouldn't mind during our cabaret show, Rana, if I do get a solo and I get to sing Part of Your World.
Yes, but you should do Little Shop of Horrors or something like that in that piece. A medley. It should be a medley, whatever it is.
Sure. Like Grow For Me from Little Shop.
Yeah. Or Part of Their World. I would like to see you do that. I think you do a great job at that.
Thanks, Rana. I'll do a medley.
Maybe it's a Disney medley. Maybe you do a Disney medley. Yeah. I love that. And then Cody Rigsby would love that. He's a big Disney fan. He has a Mickey Mouse tattoo on his arm.
But I want everyone to know I'm going to do it very sincerely.
I certainly hope so.
Yeah.
It's an audition.
Every
performance is an audition.
That's right.
Yeah.
The audition is, there's an expression, the audition is the job or something like that.
Yeah, something.
The job
like
is
that.
The audition. There's
the
something.
Job is the audition. That's I think what is it what it is. Yeah. You're supposed to do your best. Leave it all on the floor every time.
That's right, and I will.
People have until December 31st to order the Ronica Blend coffee, and then it is off the market.
Limited.
It has been such a hit. Honestly, the response has been overwhelming.
Overwhelming.
Whether you bought it just to try it, whether you bought it and you loved it, whether you bought it to support the show, we cannot thank people enough.
Truly.
It has been so wonderful. And just to know that we can keep the lights on in the carriage house for another 4 days as a result of these sales.
It's true.
But truly, it was such an incredible response, and we cannot thank our fabulous audience enough. So we're raising our chocolate gelt martinis to all of you.
Yeah.
And I will tell people a little backdoor secret, which is that if the Ronica Blend is really your favorite, it's off the market. It's off the limited edition means limited edition. It's off the market.
Yeah. It's like the Birkins, they burn the extras.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If it's really your favorite, though, you can subscribe to it. And we have made an arrangement with the boys at Bixby where they, if they know you're going to get it for all the time, they're going to keep a little extra. They're going to make
sure
it.
You want to say this on the free feed, Ronna?
The free feed are the people that love the Ronica Blend. Let's be honest. It's a real free feed coffee.
It's my favorite.
And so if you want to keep getting it, you won't be able to buy a single bag like you can now, but what you will be able to do is subscribe to it. But you'd have to subscribe now.
Yeah.
Because it won't be on the website to subscribe after December 31st.
But if you subscribe now, you can continue to get it.
And I really, 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 I've told people I'm taking a break and I'm resetting and I'm doing what I'm doing. So what I really, 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 really don't want is to get a bunch of emails on January 1st.
Don't do it.
Say, oh, whoops, I forgot. Is it too late?
Don't
do
it.
The answer is yes. Okay. The elves close up the workshop on December 31st at midnight.
That's right.
So.
And they take a break.
We also want to thank our fabulous friends at Rare Tea Cellar who have been our sponsors this month of December.
I got a shipment in from them, Ronna.
Oh, I have gotten such incredible feedback from people on these gift baskets.
They're gorgeous.
People have been ordering them.
The teas also are just absolutely incredible. The food is really one of a kind.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
So this is your last chance to make the home chef in your life feel like a Michelin star chef, as I like to say.
That's right.
People have probably already used it, 20% off their first order with offer code Brian.
That's right.
Bryan.
Bryan.
Yeah. But we
not
can't.
Not W-H-Y, the letter Y.
Bryan.
Yeah.
Bryan.
That'll be my autobiography.
I can already see the cover.
Yeah. Yeah. Contemplative, yeah.
So there we are. All right. So listen, everybody. Put your feet up. Have a fabulous new year. Please be safe. If you're in Cleveland, don't go to the bars. Apparently, you can still go to the bars in Cleveland.
Yeah, don't go.
We can't thank you enough. You are the ones that make this place special, and we just love being a part of it with you. So kiss, kiss, and on to a fabulous episode here.
Definitely.
Now, this first cliffhanger, I believe, and to remind people, we do the cliffhanger, we answer them on Patreon, they know the drill. Okay.
Exactly. This is like a best of Patreon for the end of the year, except we're putting it on the free feed.
There you go.
Yeah.
But the people who don't get, they only get to hear the question. They never get to hear the answer. So it's here on the free feed, they get the answers.
Yeah.
This first cliffhanger aired in our free feed episode with the one and only Peppermint.
Miss Peppermint.
Yeah, who was eating her breakfast during the episode.
She was, but you know what? She was doing it really elegantly, I will
say.
She
was. She needed to. She's a pro. She needed to get her protein in and do a show, and she's an absolute professional.
She knew when to take a bite, when not to. She was listening. She was fabulous. Yeah.
And she was in full hair and makeup and looked gorgeous. And
she did.
She was a blast to have on the show, truly.
She was very fun.
And the answer comes from Patreon episode 38. Frankly, I'm telling you right now, when we said only in 2020, you probably thought we were going to build these a little bit.
Yeah.
We have decided out of the gate to start with our absolute craziest question. So this is it. Our most outrageous as they come, excuse me.
I would agree with that, Ronna.
And that's a pretty high bar. So there we go. All right. Take it away. All right. Here we are. I have to say, you look terrific.
So
I
do
knew
you.
I knew you were going to be a great Hamburglar.
No, so do you, though, Rana. It just,
I
like,
knew the, you would.
The wide brim hat and the mask and everything just looks so chic
it's
on you.
It's a great look.
It is
a great look. Yeah.
It is
for
a great
anybody.
Look.
Look at that. I love the I do love the yellow detail on the cape.
It's such a surprise.
If this isn't a reason to upgrade to sauna privileges, I don't know what is.
Honestly, this is the look.
Okay. Dear Rana, Brian, and fabulous guest, of which we have none. Thank you for helping me maintain a tenuous grasp on my sanity during this scary time through which we are all living. I live alone with just my beloved cat, Chloe, for company. But listening to your podcast helps me feel very connected to others in a very real way. I am profoundly grateful. A while ago, I found myself in a very sticky situation, and I'm hoping your sage advice can help me determine the best way to handle it. A man who I had known socially for several months caught my attention in a more personal way.
Oh.
As we were chatting at an event, we discovered a mutual love of cooking. He is Italian, and as I enthused about eggplant parmesan, he offered to share his mother's recipe with me. He invited me to his house, to his home for an evening of cooking and eating together, while we also got to know each other better. I was happy to accept his invitation. We had a great time talking while making and eating the eggplant parm, and also enjoyed a lot of lovely red wine and recreational Wade.
Whoa.
Why recreational?
I guess because it's not medical.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. One thing led to another, and well, I spent the night.
Okay.
We also had a great time in the bed that night. The next morning, I was the first one up because I had to use the bathroom. As I was trying
Sexy.
To urinate, I could tell something was definitely wrong. Imagine my horror.
Oh, God.
When I saw that I was utterly matted and stuck together.
I remember
with
this.
Chewing gum. Are you kidding me? That's her line, not mine. What kind of man goes down on a woman with chewing gum in his mouth? Was he too drunk or high to know that he had gum in his mouth? Was this some kind of passive-aggressive act? My partner of the evening was still sound asleep, and I was so flummoxed by the gum situation that I just quickly gathered my things and left. I ended up having to cut the gum out bit by bit with scissors when I got home. Since that night, he has been calling and texting me as if nothing is wrong. I have not answered. So obviously, I have not spoken to him about that night and the gum. What should I do? I am angry and humiliated by this experience. But am I overreacting by ghosting him? Doesn't he owe me an explanation? Do you have any words of wisdom for me on how I should have handled this incident and how I should handle it moving forward?
Rana, are you wearing your readers right now?
Of course.
When did you put those on?
They've been on the whole time. You didn't notice them?
Are you serious? I only just noticed.
I only just noticed.
I was like, is she out of her mind?
The whole time I've had them on.
Guys, I beg of you. I beg of you to go see this.
I took a glamour shot in case we decide to post it on the internet. And first of all, I am wearing my leather pants, if you're wondering.
I'm wearing my short shorts. Something's never changed, Rana. You can put us in a different costume, but we're still us.
I can tell you're not feeling great, but I can also tell you're having a good time at the same time.
I'm having a blast. But
as
I'm also
good of a time as a person who's not feeling well can have.
I feel like the Hamburglar would be someone who would do this gum trick. And then look both ways and exit.
Oh, do that again. You did the eyes.
That's my favorite part is how shifty he is.
The painting.
That's good, Rana. That's really good. That's like Scooby Doo painting.
He also does this.
Oh, that's right. He makes those little
after
like,
he takes a hamburger.
Oh, he's the best.
He might be my spirit animal, the hamburger.
I love him. He might be actually.
Yeah, who doesn't like a little extra hamburger that they weren't supposed to get?
Rana, I don't know what to tell this person.
What's your problem? What are you so upset about?
Yeah, I think it was an accident.
I don't think he did it on purpose.
That would be so
I think you drank too much. You ate a lot of garlicky food. He felt self-conscious, so he chewed a little gum. Tried to clear his breath off. Or he's a person that doesn't enjoy perhaps having that. He doesn't mind doing the work, but he doesn't love the smell. Maybe
like
that's
he wants a different taste in his mouth.
But he doesn't mind doing the work, obviously. Yeah. So, you know, if that's his workaround, what are we going to do?
That does suck, though. Like, that's got to be such a pain in the ass to cut.
It doesn't. Really? Come on. Well, listen, it's the same for a man as it is for a woman. It's just hair. It'll grow back.
That's true. And at least it's not hair on your head.
No, it's not anything anyone's going to see. And what's wrong with having things a little bit high and tight for a change?
Sure. Give it a nice flat top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that? Give that work. Try that out for a little while.
I was also going to say that the next time, just be careful if he asks you if you liked it last time, because he might have tried to test your limits fetish-wise to see if you liked that he put gum down there.
He does not know this happened.
He thinks happened to the gum?
He doesn't even know he chewed the gum. He had too much to drink. And so he doesn't even know this happened. And that's why he's texting her like nothing happened. Not because he thinks this is some kind of a cool kink to have.
Yeah, you're right. Because that really isn't.
He just doesn't know what happened. And when she tells him, he's going to be horrified.
I can't even figure out what the kink would be, because just that, I'm imagining her cutting her pubic hair right now.
Look, if that's his thing, that he likes to chew gum while he goes to town or something, then maybe he's not the guy for you, and that's fine. But I don't think that
there's someone out there for him.
I don't think that he thinks this happened. That's what I think. And you're never going to know unless you talk to him. But I mean, now you've ghosted him for a while, so it's gotten awkward. But I don't know. I probably would have said, are you aware of what happened last night?
Sure.
What do you mean? Well, I had a lovely evening, and it was a lot of fun. But much to my surprise this morning, you left a little something.
Yeah.
In a place where it didn't belong. What do you mean?
I felt like a fifth grade desk this morning.
Were you chewing gum? Oh, whoops. Mm-hmm. Or, yeah, I love it. I love chewing gum.
Keep a piece of juicy fruit in your underpants from now on. And just say you've done half the work for him.
You could. They probably do make Wrigley's underpants. You know how they used to make all that branded Lifesavers underpants and things like that. So if that is his fetish and you decide to continue with him, you might look into getting a pair of those.
Yeah, but I would say getting gum caught in your hair down there is not a deal breaker unless it was on purpose. And then that's really Hamburglary and fucked up and nasty.
I'm jealous of your cape, so I'm rearranging mine.
Really?
Yeah.
You look
I like
great,
the way Robert. Yours is hanging that way, so I'm going to try and hang mine that way for a change. I really don't think he did this on purpose, but there's only one way to find out. I don't think, first of all, you should be angry and humiliated. I don't know what you're humiliated about. I really don't think this was an act of humiliation.
No, I don't either. I would be like, that would be really wild.
You didn't wake up. I really don't believe he intentionally defaced you in some way. I just don't.
I think he probably thought he just lost his gum if he thought about it at all.
Yeah. That's what I think. I think he was just trying to, I mean, look, we don't know what the rest of the night was like, but it sounds like it was a lovely night. So I can't imagine that this is his weird thing that he does to humiliate women. But no. There's a real easy way to find out, and you're never going to know unless you talk to him. And if you had so much fun, and he's a great cook, I mean, I don't know. To me, this is potentially just a funny story.
You could also say you left out one of the ingredients when you told me about your mom's special pasta, and that's she put bubble yum in her vagina before she cooked it. Rana, I'm not feeling well, and now you have me talking really gross.
Me? What did I do? All I did was read a letter.
I know, but you made me dress as the Hamburglar.
And for someone who's not feeling well, you're really playing the character quite well. You're acting like a real Hamburglar.
Thank you.
Love that.
I think it's worth going out with this guy.
Rearranging your hat.
I love the hat.
I'm gonna.
I love it. It's actually close to. I don't know. It's very, there is something very chic about this hat. I'm not
going
to lie.
Well, you're wearing it in a very Marlene Dietrich sort of way, yes, which I really enjoy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm wearing it more of a traditional caballero gaucho. Yeah. Yeah. Gaucho, slender man. Yeah, yeah. That sort of thing. I really don't think this guy, I really don't think this was intentional, but the only way you're going to know is, I mean, if you liked him enough and you think you might want to go out with him again, you could respond and you could also say, look, I'm sorry I haven't been responding. I wasn't really, this is silly. I wasn't really sure what to do with this information.
Yeah.
But the morning I left your house, you left a little present for me in a place I didn't want it. And yep. I guess I'm just wondering if that was intentional.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a feeling he's going to be so embarrassed.
It's too bad she couldn't keep the gum in there.
For what purpose? So he could
so that she could
get
say
it?
You left something the last time you were here.
Here.
You're right, Rhonda. There's nothing but honestly, it's a hilarious story that whether this works out or not is still
it's
a hilarious
story. It's just a good story.
Yeah.
It's one of those stories you're going to tell when you're a little about when you were dating and you'll never believe what happened to me sometime. And there isn't a thing embarrassing about it. I mean, other than the fact that it's a ridiculous, embarrassing thing. It's just a funny story.
And by the way, you're already a finalist for The Moth.
It's so true.
Yeah.
It's so true.
Yep.
All right. Should we do, I really don't have much more to say about that. I will say thank you for sharing this because I think it's funny.
It's great. It's
and I don't think it was some kind of passive aggressive act. I don't
no,
think
I
so.
No, I don't either.
I think this is just a mistake. It's like, you know, he left his keys somewhere.
Yep. Exactly.
Oops, I left my keys at your house. Now I have to come back.
Maybe
he
thought it was her real mouth.
Oh, boy. He must have had... Maybe it was medical marijuana, not recreational, and it was stronger. Yeah,
that's true.
I don't know.
I don't either.
I just think this was a funny story, and that's all it was. And that, but whatever you do, don't feel embarrassed or ashamed. And it's not... It wasn't to act against you, in my opinion. Yeah.
No, it was just to, you know, obviously to have a little memento and... it's better that it was a piece of gum than like a Werther's or a Sertz or like, you know, he has good taste.
A Werther's. Oh, I do enjoy a Werther's personally.
Or what is a coffee nib?
Oh, you don't know what a coffee nib is? It's delicious. It's a coffee flake. You know what? That's what we should be making. I wish we could find a way to make Ask Rhonda coffee nibs.
What do you do? You put them in your coffee?
No, it's a coffee flavored candy.
Oh.
There's cocoa nibs and then there's coffee nibs.
But why?
It's just a coffee-flavored candy. They're delicious.
But why do they make them?
So people can enjoy them.
Oh.
Why do they make cherry-flavored candies when they're not real cherries?
Good question. I mean, I see your point.
Why do they make anything as flavored as a flavor? There has to be something in order for the flavor to come from somewhere.
That's true. Good
why
point.
Do they make lemon-flavored candy? Because people enjoy the flavor of lemon.
Do they, though?
Well, some people. Attention Carriage House members, Rhonda here to tell you all about Anchor.fm. Anchor is the fabulous app that we use to create our podcast. And let me tell you something. You can use it to create a podcast of your own. It's totally free. They have these terrific creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer, if you're that sort of person. I have a staff, excuse me. And now you can even add any song from Spotify directly to your episodes, which is pretty fabulous. The possibilities are totally endless. So download the free Anchor app now or go to anchor.fm to get started today. Kiss, kiss. Brian.
Rhonda, do yourself a favor.
I heard you've become a total convert to this company. Is that true?
I ordered the chamomile mint tea recently. I've ordered a few things. I ordered a gift basket.
Excuse me.
I ordered the chamomile mint. I ordered the turmeric ginger. And I ordered the vanilla rooibos, which I've had before from this place, which I loved.
Yep.
Just because I wanted to bring some wellness into my life.
I love it. And is there a better time of year?
No.
Here we are.
Cozy, cozy.
We're closing out 2020.
Yeah.
We're closing out December.
Yep.
We're all looking to January, where we're going to do our little reset. So this is the last week of indulgence before the first week of reset, shall we say? And what
this
better
is bridging
place?
That place.
Absolutely. Indulge in Rare Tea Cellar right now, excuse me.
Absolutely.
Use your offer code Brian for 20% off your first purchase.
B-R-Y-A-N.
They have the most.
C-E-L-L-A-R.
That's correct.
Yeah.
As in cellar.
Correct.
Cellador.
What does that mean?
It's supposedly the two most gorgeous words in the English language put together, but I'm not sure I do believe that.
Cellador?
Cellador.
Oh.
How would you say it?
But that's three words.
Cellador. Two words.
Oh, I thought you were saying like, I'm going to sell a door.
Okay.
All right.
Well, why would I say that when we were talking about Rare Tea Cellar?
I don't know.
Okay. You just spelled it and I repeated it.
You're
and
right.
You accused me of saying something
Cellador.
Else.
That's okay. Pretty. Yeah.
Cellador. It always makes me think of Stelladoro breadsticks, though. That's the only problem.
Delicious.
But in any event, Rare Tea Cellar, who has been our absolute fabulous sponsor for December, we adore them, but they are the perfect place to go for the most incredible, hard-to-find, top of the line gourmet ingredients and rare teas, which they put, you know what's fabulous about this business? It's their passion. So they put all of their passion into finding these incredible, rare, magical, best of ingredients across
and they
the
take
planet.
Out the guesswork of it because that can sound intimidating, you
know? But I know. It's you're so right. It's just like those General Foods International coffees with the cappuccino ads. Where they said, I'll make you a cappuccino. It's so impossible. Da, da, da.
Yeah.
And then all they did was add water and they make the like they're doing the foam.
Yes.
And then they
still
bring
go through the process
cappuccino.
Of making cappuccino, but just then deliver
but
something
but
that
someone
wasn't.
Did it for you. And
someone
that's
did
what
for,
this is.
Exactly. To where like they're holding your hand through the whole thing of this is the kind of tea I want or this is the kind of, it's stunning.
And they're the kind of ingredients also that because they have spices and this and that that make you say, you know what? I wonder what I could use that for. Instead of I want to replace what I'm already using in the same five things I cook. It totally alights your imagination and makes you think, huh? What could I use that mirage pepper for?
Yes, exactly.
Very exciting.
That's
so,
right.
It's like traveling, really. Around, you stay in your kitchen, but you're traveling the globe.
Something we all could
really,
it's a really that's
fun,
what we need right now.
Fun escape and totally fabulous stuff.
20% off your first purchase at Rare Tea Cellar with offer code Brian. It's a great deal.
RareTeaCellar.com. And thank you for being a fabulous sponsor this December.
Definitely.
Happy New Year.
Chew on that, Rana. Chew on that.
Oh, I mean, chew. I still, you know, I don't think she ever wrote back to us with a follow-up. I would love a follow-up on whether she ever got back in touch with this guy and whether there's been another lasagna night, another bolognese night between these two.
I do love that ultimately our advice in one sentence would have been like, don't be so sensitive about someone leaving gum in your vagina. That was essentially what it was all.
That was our opinion was, oh, big deal. Someone left a little gum in your vagina. You're lucky they were there in the first place.
Exactly.
Especially during a pandemic.
That was a crazy one.
Oh, that is so funny.
Now, Rana.
That's so funny. Yeah.
This next one comes from, I think this guy is like a total throwback to like, honestly, like a Clark Gable type.
So cute.
This was from episode 44 on Patreon with...
On Free Feed.
Excuse me, Free Feed 44. Yeah, and our guest was the inimitable Christian Brune of Canada, friend of Moose Musselman.
Close associate of Moose Musselman, no question.
Star of Orphan Black and Ready or Not.
Yep.
And this answer comes from Patreon episode 29. So... obviously, everyone's been working from home, and as we see in this question, it has some benefits, and it also has some honest-to-God drawbacks.
Well, first of all, I want to say anyone that gets the chance to have a roll in the hay with Christian Brune would be crazy not to take it.
I completely agree, Rana. He, to me, is like a Barrymore.
He is just, especially in the cold Canadian winter.
Yep.
Wouldn't you like to be stuck in an igloo with him?
This is the thing. I want to see him starring with Liam Neeson in some sort of outdoorsy thing. But yeah. I also want to see him in Private Lives by Noel Coward.
I could not agree more.
Do you know what I mean?
He absolutely has the ability to do both of those things.
Totally agree.
I couldn't agree more. He's the kind of guy that if you were stuck in the wilderness, there'd be no question he was going to make the fire for you.
And build the float or the boat. Yeah. Or the raft.
Yeah. Okay. Something. Whatever needed to be built, he'd build it. The structure. But in any event, that's right. This question really highlighted the level of neuroses that Zoom can bring out in people.
Correct.
And yeah. No, this is a true only in 2020.
Only in 2020. Okay. Anyway, Rana.
That's not why we're here.
No, we're here because we got a question before and we had a follow-up before we answered
this. This question hit a real emotional nerve with people and it inspired a follow-up before it even got an answer.
Dear Rana, Brian, and guest, not applicable on Patreon.
Yeah.
First, I just want to thank you for making this podcast. It's a true bit of joy in this horror show of a world. I'd love to hear any advice you have on this issue. My husband's company is fully remote with employees working from their homes across the country, even pre-pandemic. His work is fairly independent, but he regularly works closely with a woman on the East Coast who is apparently very crafty. It's a loaded word. Yeah. It is, actually.
Yeah. Because people that are genuinely crafty hate the word crafty.
That's true.
They think people who are genuinely seamstresses or not seamstresses, but tailors or seamstresses or true
pattern makers,
true people that can make things from scratch, real artisans.
Yeah.
Despise the word crafty.
Yeah. Yeah. Like we're going to get to it in our book club, but would you have called Karl Lagerfeld crafty?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Okay. She shared some photos of the stuffed animals she makes with my husband, and he asked her if she would make one for our 2-year-old son. I'm not 100% sure how the conversation went, but to my knowledge, he commissioned her for a cat in our son's chosen colors. He did say at the time he would pay her for it. A few days ago, we received a package with a beautifully made, super soft, oversized plush cat. It seems like she bought the fabric especially for this project because it is unlike any of the samples in the photos she sent. I also noticed the postage she paid to personally ship it out to us was over $20.
I also noticed with my giant magnifying glass and my Sherlock Holmes hat that I had on.
Yeah, exactly. I also noticed there was a dash of lipstick on the tissue paper.
Taking fingerprints on the package, I also noticed. Yeah. And I also noticed on our Instagram that there's only one glass that she uses that she just washes over and over again. And it's always put back into the dish rack next to her.
And I also noticed that my husband's name is spelled in one of the stitchings if you read it backwards and upside down.
I also noticed that she stitched into the cat, like in Phantom Thread, an I love you message. Yeah.
She better rip open that cat. Okay. We sent her a video of our son opening the package and some photos of him playing with and enjoying the cat. But when my husband asked her how much she would like to be paid for her work, her reply was, psh, literally. He doesn't have her Venmo account info, but we do have her return address on the box. Is it weird, rude, out of line to... no kidding. It's filed away, believe you me. Is it weird, rude, out of line to send a check to this woman's house for her work, supplies, and the shipping cost? What amount do you think would be appropriate for this? Also, is this woman hitting on my husband?
Uh-huh.
Thanks, S. Was it all building up to that question, Rana?
Of course it was, dear. Of course. The first question she's asking is, how do we equalize and wash our hands of this situation? Mm-hmm. I don't want my husband to owe this woman a penny. I wish this never happened.
This cat's going to ruin my life.
I got to look at this cat. Now it's my son's favorite toy. Look at this cat. How do I get a check or a Molotov cocktail or a letter bomb to this woman's house? What do you say, Brian? That's the first person that question's for. Hey, Brian, how do I wash my hands of this?
I think Molotov cocktails are great.
I think actually this whole question is for you. Hey, Brian, also, is this woman hitting on my husband?
Well, my first suggestion before we get to the last line was like, just send her some flowers or something, or just a nice thank you gift. But it was like, well, no, if they send her flowers, they can't be signed from the husband.
No, of course
not. It would have to be from her.
Yes.
They would have to be like, thank you so much for the cat. My son loves it. And then only sign her name.
So what's going on here with our letter writer?
I mean, normally, I think she's bored. Maybe. I don't know. I think that if this is, I'm not saying deny your instincts, but what other proof do you have other than she sent your son a stuffed cat and didn't want you to pay for it? I don't know what other like feeling you have. Also, I'm trying to understand, her husband works remotely and this other person works remotely too. So they don't even really know each other.
Well, that's my question, is have they ever even met in person? To these right. people, do they have conferences and things like that? That's one thing I'm wondering, because maybe there is some either previous conference or a looming threat in this woman's eyes. Okay.
Yeah. She doesn't say she's worried her husband's cheating. She just says she's worried this woman might be hitting on him.
Yes. But I think we need to walk that out a little bit.
Okay.
Because I think this is a husband that has either had entanglements with people before.
Oh, boy.
Or I'm going to say something very controversial, and it is not meant to be insulting in any way. It actually has nothing to do with the truth. It might just have to do with what our letter writer feels.
Okay.
Which is that our letter writer may feel that her husband is more attractive than she is. Uh-huh. And she might be, which by the way, again, that's a totally made up thing.
Yeah.
Our letter writer may just be a jealous person. So right. It may be, but there's another flip to that also. It may be that a letter writer thinks everybody is hitting on her husband, and that yeah. when somebody goes out of their way to do something for him, she immediately, her buzzes go up. It may also be that her husband's a flirt, and that a husband spends all day on Zoom, and because he's home and she happens to be home, she gets to see the dynamic. Could you imagine, Brian? If either of us had a significant other that was living with us right now, mm-hmm. and they had to watch us on Zoom all day, they'd think, I'll never have what they have. That's what they yeah. would think. That's how right. they would
Especially
feel
Especially because, let's face it, when we have to do a Zoom call, I mean, we shine.
And I'm sure Mr. Cleveland feels that way a little bit. So, oh, you're going to go.
How could he
oh,
not?
So you're going, I don't really understand. You're taking Brian to the opera, but you don't want to go with me.
I have to be honest, Ronna.
You're taking Brian to the vineyard, but I'm not allowed to come. Tell me again, what you're going to be in Budapest for a week with who?
Yeah, me.
Yeah.
Well, he needs to grow up. But I will also say this. I do think, Ronna, that you've been a little cool with him lately.
What are you going to say with you?
Oh, no. I mean, you're always a little cool with me. That's why I always have to worm my way into you. But I was going to say, I think you could be a little warmer to him, but don't invite him on any of our plans.
No, I don't need to like be that. Any warmer to him. Okay. Either he's yeah. happy with the way this is going or he isn't. And that's fine. That is absolutely
You're
fine
right.
either way. I'm not looking to get anything going any further.
Okay? Yeah, you're good.
For all I know, somebody else is going to worm their way in. I don't know. You know, I'm.
That's look, true. Everyone wants a piece.
I'm not looking to get tied down right now. Okay.
Right.
I've done that. I had that. It was yeah. wonderful. Now I have my freedoms. But more importantly, either there's a flirtatious dynamic or just a fun work dynamic. Also, they're talking about things that she can't relate to because they have a work relationship, which is they have inside jokes, they have this, that. Normally, your husband goes to the office and you don't know what he's talking about with people there. You just know the rhythm of what happens when he comes home.
That's
and
true.
And so if he comes home and everything's fine and he's delighted to see you and he's happy to see the family and blah, 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 you don't really think about those things. They don't take up space in your mind.
Right. It wouldn't be bothering you because you wouldn't know if he was laughing at her jokes, completely innocently laughing at her jokes at an office.
Or flirtatiously laughing at them, because that's what people do.
People do.
Okay. They're we can't own people.
Yeah.
Do I think Bob was making all the secretaries and the nurses laugh at the hospital? Of course.
Well, Ronna, can I be fair about that?
Yeah.
You sort of also, from my recollection, I mean, I don't think he would have hit on the women he hired, to be honest with you.
Well, I was very careful about who ran the office. Yes.
So they might have flirted, but I think you rested easy at night.
I think a perfect dynamic in a doctor's office is all the nurses and the secretaries are in love with the doctor. And right. The doctor is not attracted to any of them. That's right. The perfect. But then there's the Arnold Schwarzenegger effect. So what do I know?
Sure. That's true.
You can't. Every now and again, there's a curveball you just can't predict.
You can't escape death.
Something like that. But yeah. You certainly, there's just certain things you can't escape. It's true.
Yeah.
But let's just say for a moment that our letter writer is not being oversensitive, or that she's being oversensitive in the right way. Meaning that her spidey sense has been tingled by this and something isn't sitting right with her. That might be something to pay attention to. It doesn't mean that it's this woman who's driving it necessarily, but maybe there is something there.
That's true. You can't discard your intuition about things, but you also don't want to overreact. I mean, this could simply be a case of everybody being bored, including the woman who just finally had something to work on.
Yes.
You know, who had like, oh, good. I'm not really doing much except working. I now have time to create this enormous cat.
How big is this cat? I'd love a picture.
Honestly, it's Grisabella.
You're imagining one of those F.A.O. Schwartz in the cat,
absolutely.
In the corner cats that could eat this child up.
Absolutely.
By the way, if that is the case, I would like to talk about the arrangements to pay for some of the supplies, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
To me, this is a stuffed cat that she sent her. I love that she's saying that she also, by the way, a letter writer is so not crafty that she thinks that people only use, that they buy a certain kind of fabric and they use what they have hanging around. And that if this woman even used an inch of anything that she hadn't already used on a mouse or a panda bear or something else, she is madly in love with the husband because she had to take a trip to Michael's during the pandemic. Second time Michael's.
Which, by the way, is probably the only thing that's keeping this woman alive right now.
Yes. The other thing is, I'm questioning, is he her boss? Is she looking for a way to get in with him?
Yeah, that's
a little
true.
Advancement. I mean, the other, you know, they don't even work in the same office. So it's not like she can compliment him or she can, you know, how do you ingratiate yourself with somebody over Zoom?
And also, like,
other than telling them their skin looks incredible and that you don't know what their new routine is.
I'm telling you, Ronna, I'm with you.
Woodbridge
I am
every
I'm
night.
With you today. I see it.
You look great. You look really
I think it must be a combination.
Gorgeous.
I think it must be a combination of the lighting.
Whatever maybe. It is, let's just enjoy this day, shall we?
But Ronna, I'll never achieve your glow, but today feels good.
There's a lot that goes into this.
That's true.
And I have the advantages of, you know, a little makeup. A little this, a little that.
Yeah, I really should have put it on this morning. I forgot.
No, you look fabulous.
Okay, thanks.
But I do think if you're a person who thinks everyone is hitting on your husband, then you need to look into that. That's either a jealousy thing, a boredom thing, something to do with you. Or it's also possible it's something to do with him because he has been an unsteady foundation at times in the relationship. And therefore, you always have your eyeballs out a little bit for what could be coming down the road. So that is something you have to examine on its own. If you're a pretty steady person who the relationship, you don't really notice this or that, and this is making your intuition tingle, then that's something to pay attention to.
Yes. I still stand by you sending her some sort of thank you gift. Honestly, even if it's just a note, I don't know. Or
I think a note is I don't think you need to send her anything more than a beautiful, as we'll get to in our book, a beautiful handwritten note. Thank you so much.
Yep. And you sign it. And you also, and make it clear, also sign your husband's name. His handwriting should not be anywhere on that card.
The note could just come from you.
That's true. It could just come from you. I think that's because even
that just says back up.
Yep. It's a very sweet gesture, but it also means like eyes wide open. Exactly.
Boundary.
I think you're going to be A-OK. I would love to see. We don't have to publish it anywhere. I do want to see a picture of this enormous cat.
Yeah.
I'm dying to.
Again, we still don't know how big it is, but I would love to see a picture of this cat. Which, by the way, let's read a note that we got.
Oh my God, of course.
As our pre-follow-up.
Please.
So look, here's another piece of advice from somebody else who this also hit a nerve with. So, hi, Ronna and Brian. Love the show so much. It gets better each week! Exclamation point.
So nice.
As a quilter, which is, interestingly enough, also tied into the book that we read for this week's book club, Chiffon
Trenches. It is.
Because the grandmother was a quilter.
Yes.
As a quilter, I thought I could provide some perspective on this week's cliffhanger. I personally do not sell my quilts because I find that most people are unwilling to pay what they are worth in terms of my time and the materials. That said, I often make quilts for others for free, especially baby and wedding presents, but only for people who I love and know will appreciate it. If the crafter, I guess this is what they call in their guild, what they call each other.
Sure.
In the crafter guild. Yeah. If the crafter who made the cat is anything like me, it's just fun to do something nice for someone that appreciates your work. I've made quilts to give to male and female coworkers with no expectation of repayment, nor would I accept it if someone tried. I always say, just send me a picture of the baby on the quilt and we'll call it even.
That's a good idea.
And I just want to say again, practical advice, pragmatic advice. I absolutely do not think you should try and find this woman's Venmo or send her a check. I think that's insulting, to be honest. I do.
I do too, because I actually think this woman, Jill, who just wrote the follow-up, is dead on. That, like, yeah, those things are, if you really wanted to pay a good
priceless.
Price for those.
They're priceless.
That's exactly right.
They're priceless. And they're priceless. There are different ways that people express their appreciation. Also, this is a woman. There's a certain amount of you want to be flattered if this is what you do. So you send it to somebody and you want them to say,
you want
this
it to be
gorgeous.
Yes,
this is, you worked hard and you want your art to be appreciated. However,
I do have to say,
says Jill.
Oh, yes. Okay.
As someone who was left by her husband for his coworker this past December, I'd say that if she has reasons for alarm bells to go off, she should trust her gut. I didn't trust mine for too long, but I eventually rooted out the cheetah and threw him out. Please never stop this podcast. It got me through a very, in all caps, tough winter. Kiss, kiss, Jill.
Jill, my heart goes
scandal.
Out to you. That
scandal.
Is a scandal. And I do have to say this also. And actually, this bounces off that. Not only sent her a picture of the baby, with the cat.
I already know what's coming. Send a picture of you and your husband in flagrante.
Yes.
Is that what you were going to say?
Completely. Either him inside
and here
you.
Here are some pictures my husband and I took together.
Or you inside him if you peg. Or making out or whatever it is.
Brian, what is pegging? What does that mean? I don't want to hear that.
It's when like a woman puts
a strap,
on.
A strap
yeah,
on?
Exactly. Yes.
Ugh.
And pegs the guy.
I can't. You know what? That's the kind of stuff. I still can't decide if I'm happy if you bring it up on Patreon because when I'm not embarrassed for you in front of our other 90,000 listeners.
You're being heterophobic, Ron.
Or whether I... Well, that's true for sure. If there's anything that I've been accused of that's accurate, it's that. Of being heterophobic. Ugh. All right. We got to move on.
Well, Ronna, absolutely incredible.
I would love a follow-up on that, too.
I would, too.
From the stuffed animal maker.
I know. I wonder if the daughter still likes that cat.
I wonder if she... I mean, if I was the wife, I probably would have... don't want to follow up. Well, I guess I wish I could have a follow-up from both of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I probably would have already accidentally dropped that cat in the trash or donated it to Goodwill or mm-hmm. something like that by now.
Yep.
But I'd love to know if our writer was able to adjust her attitude as a result of our advice or whether she still stands, whether there's been more evidence of somebody making moves over Zoom. I'd be very curious how it played out.
Speaking of which, Rana, I'll just have you know that Yadvina did tell me that the bath bombs I put in your room discreetly to see if you'd try them, She said they were even no longer even in the house. And I thought, did she use them? She said, no, she asked me to throw them away. Just so you know.
Well, there's two things that are true in that statement and one thing that isn't, okay. Which is, yes, you gave me the bath bombs.
Yeah. Yep.
Yes, I told her to throw them away. Those are the two truths.
Okay.
The lie is that Yadvina didn't use them to take them home, because anytime I tell Yadvina to throw anything away, she takes it home.
Oh, that makes me so happy. I hope she really, really experienced
Unless
something
Unless Yadvina
wonderful.
Even hates a bath bomb, maybe.
So I guess...
She didn't want you to know that she took it and used it, because she just felt like that was a low.
Well, now I know why, because I'm going to actually need to know when her payday is so that I can go to her for the reimbursement.
Well, I would not say, technically, I did not re-gift those bath bombs because I said throw them out. But Yadvina and I have a little code. She knows throw it out means it's hers if she wants it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever you say, Rana.
Okay.
All right.
Next up.
Yes.
We have a kleptomaniac with a spelling problem, as I recall.
That is this woman. I mean, honestly, she was all over the place. I have to tell you.
I think she was a he in the end.
Oh, excuse
Remember
me.
Remember, we thought she was a she.
This was five
and
finger
then it
discount.
Turned out she was a he.
That's
when
right.
I looked at the emails later.
Oh, okay.
But this first appeared with Langston Kerman, who I love to say Kerman.
Langston Kerman, who's
in
simply
Free
the best.
46. If there's someone cuter than Langston
he
Kerman.
He is one of the most handsome people, I will say. And I hate that I've now called all the Christian and Langston and talked about their looks, but they just both got it, you know?
I'm sure they don't mind.
That's true.
Who minds being called handsome?
That's true, Rana.
I'm so tired of being known for my looks. That's what I say to people.
Yet nobody ever. Yeah.
Yeah. What a joke.
Yeah.
This was Free Feed 46, and the answer was on Patreon 31. And this is absolute 2020 insanity wrapped up in a little bit of white privilege, as I recall.
Absolutely,
so,
yes.
Everything wasn't about the pandemic. This had a very tangential Black Lives Matter feel to it, as I recall.
Absolutely right.
A social injustice, I'm going to say.
I'll say it too.
Yeah. Okay.
Dear Rana and Brian, I'll cut to the chase. I'm a klepto.
Spelled wrong.
Back in college, a.k.a. Oh, that's right. I always want to say Cleopatra when I see that because it's with a C.
Yeah.
Back in college, a.k.a. struggle times, I got in the habit of something I ironically call white privilege bartering at the self-checkouts at major chains like Target. It started off innocently, pricing the organic single-source coffee beans like store brand, or accidentally scanning only one of the two bottles of soap I'm buying. However, I just turned 30, and I still do it. And believe it or not, it's only gotten worse. I've graduated to secretly ripping the tags on cheaper items and getting the fancier one. For instance, ringing up a $45 kitchen scale with the tag of a $9 one. I used to be open about it with loved ones, but have been shamed into silence because of their justified worry I'll be caught someday. For the record, I never got above items that are $50, which is the cutoff where stores will press charges if I ever was caught. The fact that she knows that.
Well, sure.
Did a research. After hearing Brian's story of his aunt gaslighting him to a life of crime, I felt seen. And Rana's comment about the women who steal and get the bills sent to their husbands, I felt I saw my future. I love the thrill, and it quells my anxiety because for a brief moment, I'm in control of the world, and I'm screwing over the system. It's a real high. So what do? I'm sure I could tackle it in therapy, but it's hard to not justify it in my head. Do I keep going till I'm caught and learn my lesson? Or do you two have any insight on how to kick a bad, if not thrilling, habit? With love, five finger discount.
I think my favorite line.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good ones.
There are some good ones in this.
I think my favorite line is breezing right by, I'm sure I could tackle this in therapy, but.
And then finishing the but with something that has nothing to do with that.
What does she say? I'm sure I could tackle this in therapy.
But
it's hard to not justify it in my head.
Exactly.
Which is exactly the entire point of therapy.
Exactly. Because you believe that.
I'm sure I could tackle any problem in therapy, but then I wouldn't get to do the problem anymore.
Exactly. I'm sure I could tackle this in therapy, but the therapist might say what I'm doing isn't right.
I'm sure I could tackle my fear of intimacy in therapy, but then I wouldn't get to just stomp on people's hats and ghost them anymore.
Completely. Completely.
I mean,
also, as soon as you are aware of the terminology that $50 is the cap, like, time out. I think you got to chill.
So what's the real question here?
I don't know, because she is she even asking us, should I stop?
I love the thrill and it quells my anxiety because for a brief moment, I'm in control of the world and I'm screwing over the system. Which, by the way, what system are you screwing over? You start the whole letter by saying that you call this white privilege battering. So you are acknowledging to us that you consider yourself a person of white privilege. Is that right?
Yeah, that she knows she's not going to get profiled or caught because she's white.
Right. So it's also a bad terminology. White privilege battering. It really isn't that.
Bartering is an agreement.
I don't know who you're battering with in this situation. Yeah. She means bargaining in her mind, I suppose. But what she's saying, I think, is what you just said, which is no one's going to say anything to me. I can go in and I can do this as long as I keep it under 50. And this is where the thrill comes in. And no one is going to say to the white lady, excuse me, I think those beans are this, not that. So she's what she's actually doing. The thrill is actually coming from her position of privilege. The thrill is, that's the gas in this tank, is that runs this car, is that she knows that society is constructed in such a way that she can get away. I mean, of course, this is the thrill of shoplifting, is I'm going to walk in and I'm going to see what I can do, and or of a con, any con, where you dare someone to actually call out what is happening in the moment, as opposed to manipulating their either place in society or their predilections or their personalities so that, you know, we're not talking about pickpocketing. We're talking about somebody who
premeditated.
Yes. And who engages you in a con because they know you are susceptible to what they're going to do.
And she, I mean, listen, and he or she, I can't remember what, but they walk in.
Oh, I think it's a she.
I think it's a she.
Yeah. Oh, I just assumed it was a she. Maybe I'm wrong, but this feels like a woman to me.
She walks in. I mean, she calls it out on herself. She's clearly self-aware and that she knows how this system works and that she's not going to be followed throughout the store and all of this. And yet she knows that. And honestly, it means something to her because she knows she can get away with it. So she's aware of, like, I don't know, the permission that her whiteness brings, which is also odd.
Well, maybe that's a way for her. By the way, I assumed this was a woman, but I really don't know. But maybe this is a way for them to snap out of this. Maybe if you, because really what needs to change here, if anything, I mean, first of all, let's just say what we're going to say here. You're a thief, okay?
Right. And by the way, you're not going to bring down a system, a corporate system, like $35 at a time.
No, those are all lies that you tell yourself. Just like it's a lie that you tell yourself that this is something that you need to feel a little bit better.
Yeah, because you're also you're also still buying things from that system.
You are a thief. That's the first thing that you need to tell you to understand. No matter what your little tricks and bargains and what you tell yourself, and at first it was fun and da 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 da. And of course, and it's mischievous, and of course people do this, but it is stealing. So let's just say that, first of all.
Right.
Maybe if you're able to see You're not bothering me by eating your bar, Brian.
I'm sorry. I have two more bites left.
You are just like a kid in class. You just tried to pretend you weren't eating snack in class when you're not. You know what? It's the first day of school.
You're right.
And your mother didn't send you to school with breakfast, so you had to eat a bar in the middle of class. You had to have a Nature Valley granola bar in the middle of class.
Ugh. If I never eat one of those again, I'm A-OK. The worst. The worst.
You know you're in trouble when their best flavor is honey.
Could not agree more.
The peanut butter in a desperate, desperate pinch.
Because they put the peanut butter layer on top.
Yeah. Anyway. Mm-hmm. Maybe if you're able to see that the only reason that you have a permission to behave this way is because society is constructed in an unfair way. And if you're able to see, let's say, I'm going to assume that this is the thing that you do, that's sort of your dirty little secret. And then the rest of the time, you're living your life in a very stand-up manner. And I'm mostly going to assume that because you're a member of the Carriage House. And anyone who's in the Carriage House with us is one of our friends.
That's right.
And in general, and I say, actually, somebody commented about Maria, who wrote in about her charity.
Yes.
The last time.
Yep, I remember.
And I commented back on the boards and I said, you know what? Let's give Maria a little bit of a break. She is a member of the Carriage House, which means she usually exerts impeccable taste.
You're right.
Impeccable judgment.
Plus, she was trying to find a foothold in her new town.
And she was willing to write into us and ask for advice. She wasn't just nonchalantly doing whatever. She put herself in the hot seat, and she deserves credit for that. And
you're right, Rana.
We used her story as an example, but I'm sure Maria is a lovely, lovely person.
No doubt about it.
Hot 100% in the right place.
Totally.
And I bet this person is matching with Black Lives Matter, donating to this one, donating to that one. And I bet it's something that they feel strongly about that's important to them.
Yeah.
But if you're going to live in a time where you're going to acknowledge your place in the system, which is a big part of what has been the national conversation right now, which is, what am I either doing in my daily life or how am I benefiting from a system in my daily life that contributes to the fact that we're still stuck in this moment, if that makes any sense?
It does.
Well, what you're doing is you are exerting your white privilege, as you say, your word, in order to get what you want. But it's not because you're screwing over the company. It's because society isn't willing to look at you as a white person and say you're a thief. They're not criminalizing you.
Yeah.
And you're taking advantage of that. But what you're really doing, you're not sticking it to society in any way. This isn't moving the ball forward in any way. Mm-hmm. You're just stealing because it gives you a thrill. So what do you want to do about it? I don't know. Maybe nothing.
You're probably never going to get caught.
Breezed right by therapy.
That, I think, is the answer. Not to mention, I don't know if it weighs on you at all that, like, I don't know what the circumstance would be, but someone who works there could get in trouble for this. You know, once you're, if you're ever caught, so why weren't you watching the self-checkout better? You know, you just never know who could be hurt from something like this.
Yes.
But I do think you're right, Rana, that it really is the thrill thing. And I do think you should check that privilege.
If you see yourself as a cog in a system that's broken and that you care that system is broken, maybe that's a way. The problem here is this person needs a little bit of cognitive behavioral therapy. So they need to basically, I'm not a therapist, as we know. I take no legal responsibility advice that I give you.
And if, by the way, good luck trying, because she's got a team of lawyers that is bulletproof.
Well, Brian tried to reopen his contract the other day. And come on.
What?
Your NDA. You tried to open your NDA.
Of course I did.
Are you going to write a tell-all book, your Michael Cohen book about me?
I'm halfway through it right now. I'm doing it all into a recorder, and then I was hoping that maybe Yadvina could type it all up.
She can, but it'll be in the Cyrillic alphabet, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
But you need to find a new way to examine this, because it's really just, in its essence, if we take any moral judgment or anything else out of this for a minute, It's really just a very bad habit that you have that is tied to a reward system. So you're really sort of a mouse in a cage that just keeps going for a pellet. And like those mice that they give cocaine to, and they just keep taking cocaine. Surprise, surprise.
Right.
But the mouse isn't making a choice really to take cocaine. It's just that their brain is now wired that way.
Right.
This is a bad habit. If you want to break it, and not to mention the fact that probably people have been fired in the past for, you know, that you are contributing to a system, but taking all of that out of that. If you want to break a habit, you need to either go to therapy, read a book, figure out another way to deal with your anxiety and to deal with this feeling of powerlessness or powerfulness, whatever that powerfulness, is that a word? Power?
Sure.
That this is obviously some kind of a deep issue for you. And so you either want to examine that or you don't, but Brian and I don't have any advice for you other than either deal with this or don't deal with this, I would say.
I would say that's true. And also look, whether you're giving Target $9 or $45, you're giving Target money. Well, so that justification, you can throw it right away.
Right, yeah. And they're giving you a head of lettuce totally. And a tube of toothpaste.
That's right.
And guess a pair of Nikes. Guess who you're screwing over now? The kid in wherever that made the Nikes.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, there's a whole supply chain behind you.
Not to mention the people who have to pay full price.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is, I mean, you could just be getting extra bucks for free.
That's true.
CVS Extra Bucks. I've said it before. I'll say
Rana,
it again.
You tipped you me off to that there, and I've never gone it's back.
It feels like stealing. You go in there, you only buy what's available. You buy $200 worth of toilet paper or whatever, and you get it for $100. And you
get into coupon like hacking. Stealing.
No, no.
And watch this numbers go down. I don't know. You're right. I think
this is about a charge. This is about they're never going to catch me. They're not going to say anything.
Right.
This is a total charge that this person is getting off of this.
Just don't like break into people's homes or anything and get a charge that way.
But if it's really a habit, if it's not getting any better and it's a habit you want to break.
I don't think you're going to get caught, by the way.
And it sounds like you do have a therapist. The most important thing you can do, and it's going to be, it'll be a tough session, but also you just, it's, what's the big deal? It's just a secret. Though they say their family has talked to them, don't they?
I think she said something or they said something like that.
I used to open up about it with loved ones, but have been shamed into silence because of their justified worry I'll someday get caught.
Yeah, go get a, join DOS from Nexium. That'll give you a thrill.
Okay. There we are. I don't really have, I'm going to be accused of not being too sympathetic to this letter writer.
And well, it's hard to be sympathetic with her. I will say, this is what I will say. She's clearly self-aware. She clearly understands her position, which is good, but also you're not doing much about that. So just, back off.
I mean, admitting it out loud is the first step, of course.
That's true.
I think you sort of have to have a little mini conversation with yourself and say, do I want to change or don't I want
to
change?
And I have to say, the people who make me the most exhausted in this world are the people who can't be accountable for what they do and who can't see what they do in a way that is responsibility. I mean, and that she clearly doesn't want to yet, but it's an annoying trait. There's nothing good about what you're doing. You know what I mean? Are you siphoning money from an anti-choice organization? Okay, it's still illegal, but go for it. This is your marking down things at Target because you know you can.
Yeah, I think it's just an old problem. It's something she's been doing for a long, long time. And it's a coping mechanism. And it's enough already.
Get into gambling.
You're turning, but it's a bit like gambling.
Yeah.
And you're turning 30, or you're 30. So it's enough.
Don't take that medication for restless leg syndrome.
Doesn't work.
It does work, Rana, but get this. I heard of This American Life. I forget the name of the medication. It makes you a gambling addict.
Okay.
You cannot get enough.
We're going to need a link.
You got it.
Now, isn't that so interesting? Because restless leg itself, I'm sure there's a physiological this and that, but the actual feeling of it is like being a gambler at the table.
Completely.
What am I going to do next? What am I going to do next? What am I going to do next? I need something. I need something. I need something. That's the feeling of it.
Yeah.
So, but then you just think, if I could just get this leg to stop moving. And you get the leg to stop moving, and then your brain goes off and so then it activates the actual physicalization of the thing.
People have lost everything from that.
I also want to say there was an article in the New Yorker. I think this is the article from 2008, maybe. I was looking it up while you were reading that. This might be the one. Or there was another one, which basically they did a huge article. I think this is it. It's called Stop Thief from August 25th, 2008.
Okay.
And it was all about, what do they call that? There's a word for that. They call it, instead of calling it theft, they call it loss prevention.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. Okay.
So instead of calling it shoplifting or anti-shoplifting, they call it loss prevention.
Got it.
And this article goes deep into how much money these major corporations lose in a year.
Oh, do they lose a lot?
I mean, millions and millions and millions.
Wow.
And I mean, I almost shouldn't suggest this.
I was going to say, keep
to
doing
them
it
to read because, well, this, it's a big, it's such a huge initiative of how they have to run their business because they have to account for, they know a certain amount of loss is going to happen. And so
I
it's
see,
all
right.
about the systems that they're using to try to avoid this for loss prevention, basically. But it was fascinating. I still think about it to this day.
Check that out then. That sounds
so yeah, that's
Stop
probably
thief.
It's probably more of a guidebook for this person than it
sure.
is than it is something that's gonna help them feel bad about it.
But then maybe you should read the guidebook and be like, everyone does this. Fuck
you,
that.
You're 30, dear. It's enough.
Yeah.
Figure it out and figure out what the root of it is and figure out where that powerlessness came from and find something else to deal with your anxiety or grow
Tatum up. Tatum O'Neill stopped shooting up when her daughter saw her doing it and understood what she was doing. That's just a little anecdote.
No comment.
Yeah. Sure. So I would say to this person, worst case, have a kid.
I've seen those two out together.
Remember when Ryan O'Neill hit on Tatum at Farrah's funeral?
Do I remember? It's one of my favorite stories ever.
Me too.
Ugh, at her funeral.
What a piece of work.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Rana, how would you like to be stuck in a room with that person?
I think I've been stuck in a room with that person for about, how long has this been going on? I've been stuck in a carriage house with that person.
You know what? You're not wrong. I did identify a little bit with Five Finger Discount. But I'm glad that there was some honesty there because I do feel like this was a year for self-reflection and it was time we all came clean about things.
Yes.
And I think that good things can come from that unless you're a criminal. And then who knows?
I have to be fair and say we do experience a fair amount of catharsis in the carriage house.
There's a lot of catharsis.
And there are people who, when they know they can write to us anonymously, really will tell us a few things that I hope to God they don't tell anyone else in their life.
That's true. There is a little post-secret about it.
Yeah. Post-secret. Oh, remember post-secret.
That.
Yeah. So there we are. All right.
Now we have one final cliffhanger.
Mm-hmm.
And this letter was first read on the episode featuring the intrepid, mean, she's got guts, Rana.
If people have not already, they need to go right back onto Twitter, right back. All you need to do is Google Clarissa Wood and Navalny, N-A-V-A-L-N-Y, or just Clarissa Wood. It was on her feed too,
sure,
so you can get it there.
Sure.
Is this coming back from maternity leave with a bang?
No kidding.
She and Bellingcat, which is a sort of like ProPublica here. You know how they have ProPublica or ProPublica, however they say it. And also Frontline, that same sort of organization where they do that real in-depth excellent, excellent reporting.
Yeah.
And Clarissa teamed up with them and they went after the absolute thugs who poisoned Navalny, who was really the most prominent member of the resistance movement, shall we say, in Russia, and a very handsome guy, if you ask me.
There we go.
He's very Russian, which I don't normally go for, but he's really got something.
Sure.
Even after being poisoned. And it turned out he maintained his vitality even after being poisoned, which
that's
is really
not easy.
Really saying something.
Yeah.
And it turned out they poisoned him with a Negrana. Excuse me.
Yeah. Well,
they offered him, this was, it's very
they
funny.
They just messed up the ingredients, Rana.
Well, somebody said to them, he ordered a Bloody Mary.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, we don't have the ingredients for a Bloody Mary, which in Russia in the summertime is at least the craziest thing I've ever had.
I mean, honest to God.
Vodka and a tomato. That's what you don't have? Yeah. A little Tabasco? Come on.
Right.
So they said, how about a Negroni instead?
Which, by the way, that wants a Bloody Mary, whose second option is a Negroni?
Well, the truth is, I would have taken it. If anyone offered me a Negroni, I love a Negroni. So I would say, it's not what I thought I wanted, but sure, I'll take one.
Yeah.
And the only thing that saved his life was that it was the worst tasting Negroni he ever had in his life. He took one sip apparently, and instead of, but that's so Russian, these Russian bumbling assassins, is that they're such peasants, they had never even tasted a Negroni. So whoever mixed it, no one tasted the Novichok, of course, because they don't want to die.
Sure.
And so he took one sip and he says, it's disgusting, I'm not going to finish that.
So
I probably would have finished it anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I would have done? I would have sent it back and had them make me another, and it still would have had the Novichok in it, probably.
Well, I was going to say, I think you would be would be a very difficult person to poison because you have such a specific sense of your senses are like what they like.
Yeah.
You know?
Heightened.
Heightened, yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. But anyway, she then showed up on the doorstep of one of these assassins, and it was so hysterical because only in Russia. And there he was. In his house shorts and no shoes. And she came right to his door with a CNN camera and he opened the door. It's a terrific clip. People should watch it.
Unbelievable.
Okay. This was on the answer.
Do you think
was
she
on,
ever thinks of me, Rana?
Clarissa?
Yeah.
I do. I think when she's looking, thinking to herself, when was the last time I had a great time and a great laugh? She thinks about you. That's what I think.
I think about her.
She would love to have a drink with us in London. She's a lot of fun. She's
well, from what I remember, she specifically invited you for a drink in London.
Everyone knows if they invite me, they're inviting us. Everyone knows it. Everyone knows it. And also, they don't want to presume you're a big star on 911. They don't want to presume that you're available to just have a drink with them.
I'm too big for Ronna Glickman and Clarissa Ward, said nobody ever.
They assume I've got nothing to do because I'm just some old lady who has a podcast. You're an actual star.
You're running an empire, Ronna.
That doesn't translate to fame and adoration, dear. Okay?
Okay, ask Oprah if it does or doesn't.
Oh, ask Oprah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Ask Oprah. She pushed some oat milk latte for $18 for Meghan Markle and she's upset about it. And I, of course, want to try it now.
I got to say, Rana, before we get to this last one, I do love your relationship with Oprah in that you really do love her and she also kind of drives you a little nuts.
Well, I love Oprah, but she's crossed over into some strange
space. She has crossed over into, she wants money now.
It was the, or it's some kind of laziness because she doesn't, it's not that it's laziness. It's that she's not doing the show really anymore.
Yeah.
So she's not as connected to everyday experiences.
She moved
into that spiritual plane, which she's incredible in.
She is.
But she's more interested in the way people behave philosophically and why they behave now, as opposed to she used to be balance that with sort of the everyday nitty gritty of people's lives. And that was what was so incredible about the show is that people could relate to those stories and also that she would shine a light and spend a real hour in depth on things that you might not have thought too much about.
Yeah. Her, that show was incredible.
But when she started pushing that truffle mayonnaise is when she lost me.
Right.
About 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. But she's still Oprah.
She's still Oprah. You can't deny it.
Okay.
Okay. So this was from Patreon episode 34 is
where we answered this.
Correct. So enjoy this one. This is from Free Feed 49.
Buckle up. Okay, so
all right,
for Cynthia's first, and I also just told everybody that when you listen to the show, you hit pause before we give the advice because you try to see if we're going to give the same advice that you do.
I love that.
So this is pretty fun. So Brian's going to reread the cliffhanger. We'll have a little bit of I have a couple of pieces of business, and then we'll get into the discussion of the book.
Rana, okay. This actually changes everything about the opening of this letter. Dear Rana, Brian, and guest, Cynthia. I'm writing today for some advice on dealing with a neighbor. My roommate and I live in Brooklyn and are fortunate enough to have a balcony patio, which has been a godsend these past few months. We've loved being able to relax in our outdoor space during quarantine and even purchased an outdoor heater so we can try to squeeze a few more months of use out of it before winter. Here's the problem. A tenant recently moved into the apartment downstairs and she stinks. Literally. She's the kind of smoker who tries to cover up the stench of tobacco through the liberal use of air fresheners.
Yeah.
Because she keeps her bedroom windows open at all times.
I love those people. They do the spray at the same time. They finish the stamp out the cigarette and the spraying lights off.
And you're just supposed to act like you don't smell a thing.
I knew a makeup artist once who would smoke with a glove on.
So and
then she'd come
fingers.
Back and do your face.
Oh.
Ew.
Yeah. But she'd take the glove. Of course, it was all over. It was in her hair. It was everywhere. Yeah. But she would smoke with a glove on.
Cynthia, do you smoke with gloves on?
Well, that's a different story. Only when she's on the Orient Express.
Yeah, exactly. when I wake up and it's 300 years ago and I'm a man.
Yes. Fabulous. Because she keeps her bedroom windows open at all times, our patio now constantly smells like stale cigarettes mixed with Febreze. I cannot overstate how strong and nauseating the smell is. My roommate and I pretty much stopped using our patio because it's so overpowering. The smoking tenant in question has a lovely, spacious backyard that we have never seen her use. But if she could smoke out there, we think it would help. The layout of our building is such that any smell coming from her bedroom window gets trapped on our patio, but air from her backyard is more open and wafts away. I know this is a difficult time for everyone and people need their stress outlets. For some people, that outlet may be relaxing in bed with a cigarette. So is it unreasonable for me to ask if she can close her window and start smoking outside? Spending time in fresh air on my patio has really been getting me through all this craziness and I miss it a lot. Any guidance would be greatly appreciated. Love the show and the advice. Keep up the great work. Best, Darcy. Cynthia?
Well, I mean, I lived in Brooklyn for a long time. I had a lot of downstairs neighbor problems. All you can do is ask, but this is apartment living. And you are sadly, usually stuck with whatever the other person is willing to do. But there's no problem with asking nicely, with explaining the problem. And then I guess I would also wonder if there are any regulations about indoor smoking in the building. Smoking is so regulated in New York State. I don't know how that works.
At my place back in LA, you can't smoke anywhere inside or outside on the property. So you
oh, really?
So it actually, and a lot of buildings
on
are
on your
like,
balcony, you couldn't smoke?
No.
But can you smoke marijuana?
You know, I don't.
Probably.
You probably could. You probably could in your room. In like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But a lot of buildings are like that now. So actually, yeah. I mean, I totally agree with Cynthia that I think your first move should be to find out if it's even legal that she's doing this. Because then you could involve like the landlord and stay out of it. But, or maybe
well,
that should be your second move. But
you're
I think that should be your second, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think you... I don't know. You.
How do you ask is the question.
Well, that's always rough because when you do it in person, you're taking someone by surprise and putting them on, and it's likely they'll be put on the defensive right away.
Yeah.
I mean, I would be tempted to write a lovely note with a little box of cupcakes you know, or something like that, and just explain the situation and say, you know, we haven't been able to use our patio. We can smell everything. Is there a solution to this?
It's a bit tricky because the smoker already has shame about their smoking.
Because right. of the Febreze? Because
they're smoking inside, they're covering it with Febreze, and the not smoking. The key to me is that they're not smoking in the backyard. Because if they didn't care that everybody knew they smoked, they'd have a little table out there, and they'd go out there, and they'd have a cigarette, right. and they'd be reading the newspaper. They'd have their smoking corner, which is what a lot of smokers do. They have a little spot right. they go to outside in the summer, of course. If you're a smoker, who doesn't want to enjoy a cigarette outside? Right. And have a little ashtray.
Literally, everyone can see you.
So they feel ashamed by
that.
Yes. Yeah. But if you didn't care, then that's what you would do.
Right.
But they do care. And so, and also they're a bad enough smoker that it's not like they'll say, oh, I'll just smoke. I'll go out front and have a cigarette. They right. need to smoke in their apartment.
Ugh.
That's, I mean, I can't even. But I think the landlord would be very upset to know that somebody was smoking like that inside their apartment because
Probably.
It just stays in the walls and the carpeting yeah. and everything else for years.
Yeah.
But it's very tricky. I'd love to know a little more about the neighbor. I wonder if they're also a young person or if they're, you know, what else is going on there. All I can think about is Rear Window, where everybody wants to keep right. to themselves, you know,
right.
and nobody wants to get in anybody else's business, but everybody's in everybody else's
if
business.
This person,
well, and that is the compact of New York City.
Yeah.
Yes.
You don't get in, you know, I mean, I can count on one hand the number of apartment building neighbors I actually knew their first names.
Completely. And sometimes even recognized. Do you know what right. I mean? I felt like I was constantly right. seeing people for the first time. For years.
It's also about to be not patio season anymore.
Right. This is very true.
What about a fan?
For the upstairs?
Could you put a fan on the patio and blow the smoke back down to the person or blow it away?
Yeah, I don't exactly understand what's happening. So the person, the window is below their patio.
I don't think they really have a patio. I think
they have a balcony.
I think it's like a redone brownstone, or maybe it's one of these modern buildings. But basically, the person on the ground floor has a garden apartment, so they have they have a little outdoor space. And then above them, so that person is either coming outside and smoking where they have privacy under the overhang right. of the balcony above it, or they're smoking inside the house, opening the door, and the smell is coming up. And it's absolutely nauseating. Of course it is.
It's disgusting. I'm starting to wonder if maybe the first step is finding out what the building regulations are, talking to the landlord, and
because the landlord could knock on the door and say,
yeah.
we can smell smoke coming from your apartment.
Yes, right. exactly.
As opposed to the people
upstairs
told us. The
landlord can also say, like, we've had several complaints about the smoking indoors.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that even if it's well received, I feel if you do it by a letter or something, I do think that this downstairs neighbor, he or she will stop until they don't want to. And then they'll just do it again. Do you know what I mean? It might work for a week or two.
Right.
But
I think that's right. That, I mean, the person you have to have the real conversation with is either the landlord or the property manager, whoever that
right.
is. And you need to say to them, this is a delicate issue. We're not sure what to do, but so-and-so, we can smell. I mean, it's so bad.
We don't want to embarrass anyone. We don't want to make someone feel bad, but we're not able to use. I mean, there is also, especially with what's going on right now in New York City, there is also an opportunity to say, we can't use a part of our patio. And
that's why we took the
apartment.
What
do you think about a little rent renegotiate? Like, people are renegotiating their rent.
That's true.
And you have an actual valid loss of use. I mean, you know, I wouldn't go into this in a hostile, threatening way.
No, but
just
no one
like,
wants anyone to be dissatisfied
like,
with their apartment.
Hey, this
right
is
now.
You know, we're all, you know, chances are we're all going to be stuck inside back again for a while, and winter is coming, and we like to be able to sit outside on a nice sunny morning and have a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think it's best in the landlord's hands because also, as you mentioned at the very beginning, it is just sort that is otherwise that really is just city living. And unfortunately, if it's all legal, if it's all above board, and if this person ignores your advice, your only really recourse is to either get fans or make that place better for you, or you would have, you would have to find it.
Also,
place.
They can smoke at a lot of other places. You can't sit outside on your balcony in a lot of other places.
And maybe they can even, maybe there can even be some sort of like between these hours, here are the hours. I mean, forget I even said that. That's unnecessarily
I think you just have to say
It's,
we can smell it. It's coming through. We don't feel like we can use that balcony.
Yeah. I was just thinking about the time that I had a downstairs neighbor who wanted me to keep my two toddlers out of the living room between the hours of 6 and 9 a.m. on Saturdays and Sunday mornings. Oh my God. Out of the living room.
Yeah, just strap them to their beds. Give them a children's Benadryl on a Friday night.
That's outrageous.
So they don't wake up till 10 a.m.
It's just so outrageous. I'm like, do you think they know how to levitate? Like, they're toddlers.
I've lived under...
Like, I can't even get them to, like, wipe their noses.
That's insane. I've lived under a family who had two toddlers before, and it's annoying, but at no point did it cross my mind to say something about it. They're children.
No. Because it's life in the city. Well,
I hope you had a rug, Cynthia. I hope you had a rug.
Of course I had a rug. Of course I had a rug. That wasn't enough.
Yeah. It's city living.
Nothing was ever enough, Rana. Nothing was ever enough.
Never enough. Never is. Okay.
You know, it was enough when we moved.
Sure. Oh, yeah. That's,
okay. Talk to the landlord. Find out the rules of the building. Make it happen. That's what I'm saying.
Yep. And by the way,
this isn't getting any better.
The best solution is always one where you don't even have to really talk to somebody about it.
And the best way to activate the landlord is to say, I don't want to go this far yet, but, you know, it's getting to the point where we can't use our balcony.
I can't use something
I'm paying for. That's really why we took the place. Yeah. So I don't want to get into that conversation yet, but I'd really love it if you could make it so that we're getting full use of our unit. Mm. And if not, I'd love to talk about.
Does she say she's in a rent? He or she say they're in a rental?
They don't.
They have a roommate. I'm sure they're in a rental.
Yeah. Just if they're in a co-op, then you have to bring it to the co-op.
Oh, talk to the board.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's true. If you're in a co-op, there already would have been 40 complaints.
I just got a letter.
This is true.
I got a letter from mine. They sent it all the way to Boston Rana from LA because they were so upset that I guess.
How'd they get your forwarding address? I can't believe it.
Yes, I did. But I guess they I guess on my patio somewhere was like a brick that was a foot away from the balcony's edge or something like that. And I got this nasty note about, I mean, they co-op put up with nothing.
What do you mean a brick?
It was like this thing that was, I was just like securing a plant for if it got windy or something, but it was like well away from the balcony. From like the
edge. What would it do anyway? What if it was on the edge of the balcony? What was going to happen?
Like there's nothing under it. I don't know.
It was like a hazard. It was gonna
a
fall
hazard.
And,
yeah, they said if it was too windy, I was like, it's literally like a 40-pound brick.
Kill someone.
So that means your neighbor said something.
Absolutely. Which like
somebody that could see into your balcony.
Honestly, which like fair. I guess I don't really mind that, but
there's always a busybody.
And my point is that co-ops and landlords hopefully don't mess around with that kind of thing.
No, they don't.
We know who it was anyway. It was the guy in the Sondheim sweatshirt with the Mike's Hot Lemonade from the hot tub.
Because he couldn't.
He's just trying to get your attention.
I had a little Call Me By Your Name with a guy who's retired and who wears a Sondheim sweatshirt and loves Mike's Hot Lemonade. And he saw me swimming one day and he offered me one and I kind of rejected the whole thing completely. So actually, Ron, I'm thinking you're right. This might be retribution.
He was wearing a Sondheim sweatshirt. Brian was swimming and then he offered him a Mike's Hot Lemonade.
He was sitting on a lounger, but fully clothed. Yeah.
I mean, I like the Sondheim sweatshirt.
Me too.
Watching Brian. Well, you like it by itself, but when it's combined with the Mike's Hot Lemonade.
Yeah.
It gets felt very tawdry.
And elastic pants.
Very tawdry.
It becomes elastic something very different. Pants. Yeah.
Don't knock elastic pants, Story.
Are you
this
kidding?
Time
it's all I'm living in.
No, no, please.
Rana, I have to say, there's nothing I love more than a cigarette smoker.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't. I just don't like the smell of stale
smoke
coming in.
We like cigarette smokers on film.
And getting revenge. That's right.
Yes.
On film, getting revenge.
Because we don't have to smell it when we're watching them.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. But I don't need a daytime downstairs neighbor smoking it.
I'd like an update from this person too, from Darcy. We didn't get an update. I mean, why are people writing to us? It's not fair. This is like when your friend gives you advice. You give advice to a friend who wants to break up with someone and then you never hear what happened.
Yep.
Come on. We want our updates. Send us your updates.
Send us your updates.
Okay.
Rana.
Well, yeah. We did it.
Free Feed 2020. That's a wrap on Free Feed 2020.
On Free Feed 2020, only in 2020. It's a wrap on 2020.
It's a wrap on 2020. Any final thoughts on this year, Rana?
I just have to say, I think it's been pretty. We have to always look for the silver linings. And so as much as we've all felt fenced in and claustrophobic and, you know, started out loving Zoom and then hating its guts and then, you know, not wanting to look at another screen as long as we live, et cetera, et cetera. And a lot of people, you know, in our audience and around the world have lost people dear to them. And we do want to say, take a moment and say that we're thinking of you. And we said, whether it was to Corona or to something else, we want people to know what an awful year this has been for people that needed to mourn or needed to connect with people in certain ways that they weren't able to. And that has been devastating. But I always think, and I talk about this often when we talk about grief from time to time, I always think the silver lining of that is that that pain or that adversity, hopefully, makes us realize how important those things are to us and that we cherish them. I do think it's going to be funny. The day after the vaccine, everyone gets the vaccine, you know, we hit herd immunity. I think life is going to go exactly back to where it was before all of this.
Which is so upsetting.
What is not going to change one inch.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what the Biden presidency and the administration, how things change as a result of that. But I think people thought this was going to change the world, and I don't think it's going to change much. That's, but we'll see. That's a maybe a sad prediction, but that's also a testament to human
nature,
I suppose.
Some people want that, though. Yeah.
Yeah. People, this is like people that have a terrible illness and then they recover and they think, I don't want to think about that anymore.
Yeah.
But I do think there's been that silver lining that people have taken time for self-reflection. They've taken stock of who's important to them in their lives. They've done a little work on themselves and realized where they're touchy points are.
They've gone over the accounting and made sure that everyone's getting paid what they need to get paid and making
have
sure
they
that
ever.
Everyone's getting paid back for produce and all that sort of
thing. Yeah, making sure that the correct people are Venmo'd, making sure that, you know, that, that we're keeping tabs on every ounce of behavior and every ounce of
reconsidering some of my money making ideas, like just making sure that everyone.
Absolutely.
That's
making
right,
sure we're speaking up for ourselves and getting exactly what we deserve.
That's right.
And that we're not taking advantage in any way.
That's right. I do want to officially announce in 2021, no more free shipping on the coffee.
Yes.
We're going to see that money.
Not true. Yeah.
Okay.
But making sure, of course, and that we're always being so grateful to the people that who have allowed us to stay with them or whatever, you know, whatever it is in your situation, whatever that version is for you.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Okay. I can't think of anything, but yeah. I love you, Rana. Thank you for everything this year.
I love you, Brian. No parentheses around that at all.
Thank you.
I love you without parentheses and with a capital Y. What do you think of that?
And I love you.
Actually, all caps.
I love you and Rana, all caps. But with a tiny R at the end.
A little R? What's the R for? Registered trademark?
Ronner.
Oh, Ronner. Oh, maybe it's an R to the R squared because you like to look at things in mathematical equations.
I certainly do. Ronna, did you know that in England, if someone doesn't show up for a date, they call it a runner?
No, I didn't know that.
On first dates, I guess it's when they think someone might leave a date. They have a name for that. And it's like, we got a runner.
I would have thought a runner was when somebody walked out on the day.
You are correct. But I guess it happens so often there that they have a word for it.
It's another reason to love England.
It really is.
Because people drink too much. So they just think they were in the middle of the date and they think, You know?
Yeah.
I could stay here. I could go next door and meet my friends at the pub.
That's right. That's right.
There's something
low
very
threshold of
very yeah. sloppy and very honest about that. When it enters the popular culture and people just do it, it goes from being the worst thing you could do to someone to being like,
whenever
fair
someone
enough.
Excuses themselves to the bathroom, the other person always says, are you a runner? You're going to be a runner. And then they always say, like, if they're in there too long, they go to the waiter. They go, I think she's a runner.
Oh, I'm going to go watch First Dates again tonight. I got to pick that up again. Happy New Year to
Happy
our
New
beloved,
Year.
Beloved Carriage
you,
House.
We couldn't do it without you, and we feel so connected to the world through you.
We will see you on January 12th, but there may be a little secret surprise in the feed on whatever that day is. What is that, January 6th or 5th?
Yeah. It's not my penis.
No, it's not going to be that, but there could be a little surprise in the feed. It won't be a brand new episode, but there could be a little surprise in the feed. So keep your eyes peeled. That's Tuesday, January 5th. Sounds a lot like somebody's birthday that I know.
Mine? No, Marana, mine's in July.
No, not yours.
Whose?
I don't know, dear.
I'm trying to... Because yours is in...
Yeah.
January.
Yeah.
And
so,
I know it's toward the beginning.
In any event, maybe
right,
I'll drop a
out.
Little birthday surprise for people on my birthday, a Rana's birthday surprise. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll be, I don't want to think about you for 10 days. Maybe that's possible.
I know too. What I'm going to get you, Rana.
No presents this year.
Cold, hard cash.
I don't want any gifts this year.
But I was
going to
give
you
cash.
I don't want, if I want your cash, I'll take it out of your check before I give it to you.
I don't doubt it, Rana.
But keep an eye on our socials because it's going to be some fun stuff going there, counting down to, I'm not telling you, the most exciting guest we've ever had in the Carriage House. I'm so excited for people to enjoy.
There have been many
this.
Milestones on this show. I will say the fact that we have this guest is a milestone.
Big fish
in a big pond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm surprised. Surprised they can fit in our pond.
Honestly.
So there you go.
But our pond is so nice, Rana.
It's a nice pond. Yeah. It's a very nice pond. Yeah. Yeah. If I was a fish, this is the pond I'd want to be.
Oh, no question, as you would say.
All right, dear. Kiss, kiss.
Kiss, kiss.